annals of history.
There has been some mighty trios. Alvin and the Chipmunks, Harry, Ron and Hermione, and the Bee Gees.
Well, sure, there's only one of them now, but you get the drift.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these three men will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish!
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Please welcome Scotty, No I Don't Know Why I Got Fired Masters, Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve, Golden Tonsils Payos.
Season 2, Episode 13 of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to the crew at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
It's my lucky number. I'm Benny Edwards.
And I'm Stevie P.
Nice. And Benny, the hair. Let's start the episode with the hair. Yeah. Anyone that's friends with you on Facebook has seen you've gone the romper stomper look.
Yes. I trimmed my beard up.
Benny like, Crow.
It's no good, right. Man. I trimmed my beard up. Look like a bobblehead doll, so I thought, shit. I'll shave the whole lot off and look like a racist Galapagos tortoise.
And you're just telling us off air a story. You went to the servo last night. Because the back of your head, you've got like when Homer Simpson taught Bart how to shave.
Yeah it's no
The back
good.
Of your head, it looks like it's been shot by a shotgun.
Yeah, I shaved it last night. Just so I could work on my tan. Because it just looks so shocking because there's no tan. It's just pale as. Yeah. I'm not saying it would look better with a tan, but...
Oh, no, it would.
Slightly.
It would.
Yeah, you probably would, mate.
So I agree. Yeah. So, yeah, shaved it and went to the servo to get mum some Nurofen. She had arthritis playing up in her hands. And the little Indian servo goes, really, usually really nice to me, like top bloke.
Yeah, but you've walked and in looking sort of like Russell Crowe on roids.
Yeah. He's just looking at me like, oh, hi, how are you? Like real hesitant, like real weird. I'm like, yeah, good to see you. Have a good night. I just thought, oh, he's probably a bit tired or something.
And no, you look like a criminal, Ben.
And saw a big, huge, like 12-inch drop of blood from the back of my head into my sideburn, dropping into my beard, what's left of my beard. So I looked like I'd been bottled out.
Just everything's all very normal.
I look like I'd been actually romper stomping.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
So, yeah, I'm definitely thinning out the front, which is part of the reason I got rid of it.
Are you thinning out
mate,
the front?
Mate, well, they say you are what you eat, and I'm turned into a McDonald's M hairline. So maybe there is something to be said for that. Oh. But I need to keep it short, but maybe not this short.
It's a little short, but the beard's gone. Like you're looking,
I'm just an extreme.
You are looking very Aryan Brotherhood at the moment.
100%, the white power. Just kidding.
Whoa.
Oh dear,
this day and age,
Stevie, how was your long weekend, mate?
Fantastic, mate. Really
Monday good. Night, we're recording of the long weekend, so
that's right. Really good weekend.
You're looking very smug. What's going on, mate?
Very smug.
How many?
A few shots off.
Oh, stop it.
There's been a couple.
Scotty and I both picked up on that. Yeah. Well, he's so happy.
Very smug, eh? Yeah, I get it. Oh, the weekend was going fantastic.
Don't avoid the question, mate.
Blew my back tire about an hour ago.
Oh, that was your
name? Yeah. What was the name?
Yeah. Oh, I knew that would work well. And I blew my tire. Yeah, there we go.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, weekend well spent, boys. It was
huge sporting weekend for Australia, obviously, that you're going to touch on in Vast Planet.
The famous Labor Day long weekend with all of the grand finals this weekend. Plenty of Premier League, plenty of overseas action.
Bathurst,
it's all happening.
Weekend, did you
next
say
weekend.
Yeah, Bathurst is coming up on Sunday. This coming weekend. So this podcast comes out Thursday. So on Sunday, it's Bathurst. Yeah.
That's right. Yep.
And if you've got Foxtel, like the Fox coverage, a lot of fans whinged about, oh, now it's on free. You've got to pay for the V8s, and it's only a few pounds on free to air.
Impressed.
That's my punter voice after 4 hours in the pool and 10 iron jacks in deep before we start recording.
Yeah, normally got to pay for it.
What are you doing? But no, the coverage on Foxtel is amazing. And the week leading up to Bathurst, they have the Bathurst channel where they basically play.
How far back?
They go back to the 70s.
Because I love to watch the old 70s,
mate,
80s.
You see all the Peter Perfect's wins and Alan Moffat and stuff like that. But like today,
I love to watch the old ones with the old Nissans in there.
The Skylines were in there. With the 32s they were. That Scaife.
And
it was Richards, wasn't it? Stood up there and called them all a pack of bastards at Bathurst that year.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff with that Skyline. That Skyline, one of the guys at Fox Antiques in Fishwick owns a car that was given to Mark Scaife. After that win, Nissan gave Scaife and Jim Richards an exact replica without all the race gear on it of that 32 Skyline each.
Yeah, wow.
And one of the guys at Fox Antique, Charlie Fox, bought one at auction, and it's immaculate.
Really?
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful, that thing. I was lucky enough to see it one day. Amazing.
How good's that?
Yeah, not very, very smick if you're into your car.
No,
yeah,
blown out back tyres on that one.
No. That's probably why he was frowning, unlike Steve, who's got a Cheshire Cat eating grin on.
A shit-eating grin.
big time. Well, that on the way, and plenty more. We've got a great question, for a listener question that's come in based off the NRL grand final yesterday, and Sean Fenson, what a bloody horrible injury for that poor bugger.
I thought because his knee was taped, oh, he's done his knee again. It's another ligament.
Tib and fib.
Yeah,
smashed.
And then I saw,
And like, you saw him on the ground, he was smashing the turf.
Oh,
and
before
the minute,
hit the ground.
The minute he got on the pef pipe, he was just there going, hey! He's going off on that trolley. Shit. Oh, yeah. Man, that's what they gave me in hospital after my botched bloody surgery.
That's what, when I got stretched out of the gym, that's what they gave me.
Yeah, man.
I was trying to share it with everyone in the gym.
Yeah, like, because it's either...
I think we got out of the gym.
It's either pethidine or fentanyl, and you press the button, and seriously, 3 seconds later, you're off with the bloody fairies.
Is the brand name Penthrox? Because that's the green whistle I had Penthrox.
Yeah, which I think is the active ingredient. That's obviously a peth pipe, pethidine, I think.
Yeah,
the stuff I was on in ICU was fentanyl, which I think is... obviously just a different derivative of it.
I think that's next level.
A bit hardcore, is it? Yeah. When you die, they give you the good stuff.
I've heard of fentanyl before people carking from it, I think.
Oh, really?
I think so. Oh, yeah, enough. Yeah,
oh, sure, yeah. Sure. Well, I was on a metered dosage, Benny, because I tried, trust me.
I was pretty into painkillers there for a bit.
It's a nice habit of mine.
I've gone away from the sex angle for a top five. We're talking politics and communism this time, so I'm hoping it's going to get Benny across the line. It is topical, so I'm hoping that at least will get Benny across the line this time. He's already looking upset. Look at him.
I haven't the opposite look on my face as to pay us at the moment, but I have an open mind.
All right, we thought we'd get stuck into the music this week. We thought we'd play the double shot from the grand finals this weekend. Obviously, the killers at the AFL grand final, who are amazing. And that cover they did of Forgotten Years by Midnight Oil.
I was listening to that on the way
here. Amazing.
Yeah, that was
awesome. It was sensational. So we thought we'd play Mr. Brightside by the Killers, who, of course, entertained everyone with Richmond getting up over the Crows. Stevie, you'll talk about that next when we get to Vast Planet.
Off my heart. Unbelievable.
Yeah, no notes. No notes. He's still ticking over what he did on the weekend, and everything else is up there as well.
He must have the biggest hard drive in the world.
That's what she said.
That's all your fallback, mate.
Here's the Killers on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, season 2, episode 13. Thanks to the Butcher Shop.
Calling a cab while he's having a smoke, and she's taking a drag. Now they're going to bed. And-
Will Smith there. 2005, maybe.
Yeah.
This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Ben. Scotty's looking at me. Payos is looking at me. And going back to the Killers, man, when I was in Perth with one of our mates, Mickey Dross, man, we saw this cover band with his chick lead singer at one of the clubs in Perth do the best cover of Mr. Brightside ever.
2005.
I have no idea what that man's name was, but great cover. Yeah. Hot chick. Over to you, Steve.
Let's do this.
And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the Vast Planet
of Athletic Endeavour.
And you are record for Usain Bolt.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one on the PGA Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Thanks very much, boys. Let's start with the Killer theme grand final on Saturday afternoon. Richmond Tigers breaking their 37-year drought. And
how's old man Payos?
He's happy, mate.
Your dad's a Tigers fan?
Massive Tigers fan.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he mention that.
He almost shed a tear on him. I couldn't believe it. I haven't seen any emotion for him in 30 years.
I don't follow AFL. I don't like the game at all, but I always watch the grand final every year.
It is a spectacle.
Seeing some of those legends of the game in the stands tearing up five minutes ago when they realised they had it sorted. That was awesome.
Absolutely, mate. It was a real dream come true for a lot of those fans. I had a mate, Jimmy Buckley, a really good friend of mine who writes for the Herald now in Sydney.
He's interviewed me a few times.
Jimmy. He works for the Sydney Morning Herald now. He went down there and went and watched the game. He's a big Tigers fan. So it's funny, there's a whole generation of supporters who are sort of our age, I guess, out of all that younger generation.
Scotty's older than you and me, mate.
Much older.
I'm going to include him in this. In our generation. That haven't seen a victory like that. And then you've got the older generation like my dad who hadn't seen a victory since 1980. So fantastic performance. They were only 9 points up at halftime after being behind at quarter time.
Blew out a bit though.
And then they absolutely
flogged them in the third and fourth quarters.
I reckon that's why the grand final is so different, because there's so much pressure and people... So much, you just naturally catastrophic think like, oh no, we're so far behind.
All the smart money was on the Crows.
Everything's just intense. Yeah.
Everyone just went, the Crows have got this in the bag. And like, again, I know nothing about AFL. I don't follow any of it. But reading all the articles during the week on Daily Telegraph and online, it was like Crows, Crows, Crows. No one gave the Tigers a chance.
Yep, exactly right. And they came out and they proved that what you can do with belief and what you can do with, you know, the power of the fans behind you. Now, as I understand it, the capacity of the MCG is 100,024.
Yep.
And there was 100,021 that clicked over walking into the ground.
So didn't even
that's saying something.
Didn't even sell it out.
Yeah.
Got to do it, eh? Similar theme to the Cowboys and the Storm.
Yeah.
The gun side, just the army side against the up-and-coming guys with all the passion in the world.
And Adelaide have traditionally been a team this year that have kicked, you know, big bags of goals. They kicked 20 goals plus in a game. They're out there scoring 140, 150 points minimum a game.
They were kept
to, you know, under 70 points. They were smoked. They were absolutely taken apart. Richmond's back line in Rance and Vlosten. Dusty Martin was a fair decision for the best player on ground.
And that's the guy that won the Brownlow, right?
That's,
and there's a lot of controversy around his dad, apparently. Is that the guy?
Exactly right.
So
Dusty's the first player in AFL history to win the Norm Smith, to also win the Brownlow and to also win a premiership in the same year. But his father is
not allowed back in the country.
That's right, yeah. He's a convicted associate of a bikie gang, I understand.
Right,
I'm not sure
of
the exact charge, but basically he's been deported back
to
New Zealand.
He bloody looks it.
Peter Dutton sent a bunch of New Zealand bikies back to New Zealand who'd broken laws here. So
basically sent him back.
Allegedly.
Not allowed back in. No, I think he's convicted, actually. Yeah,
100% confirmed.
There's no alleged with that one.
If there was alleged, I don't think you'd be able to send him back. So that was another talking point. There's a few pundits that have come out and said this is the worst roster of players that have ever won a premiership, and they were saying that in total praise. They weren't saying any negativity. They were saying just in terms of man-for-man quality.
Because as you said, they've never been there before.
That's right. It's not the best team that have ever made a grand final and the best squad of players.
But they were a champion team, not a team of champions, weren't
correct.
They?
Correct. Yeah. Exactly right.
It's so many similarities to the Cowboys, man. It's just a shame that they...
Yeah, so I think
there's
a few issues with the Cowboys. I think things like their injuries is what really took the toll.
Yeah, of course. Thurston, Matt Scott out of the game, and then losing Sean Fensom in 2 minutes. But we will get to that.
Congratulations to all the Richmond fans. It was a fantastic day out for all of them, and well deserved. The parties went on well into the evening there around Punt Road and in the Richmond area. People jumping all over cars. So I feel sorry for anyone who left their car there and trampled upon. I hope AAMI come through in the goods. For all the insurance claim. What happened to your car? The roof cave in
hailstorm.
Hailstorm about 30 feet.
A tiger escaped from Melbourne Zoo.
That's right. It didn't look too different from, I'm sure you know all about it, but there was a big Croatian soccer meet on the weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
And obviously the Croatian soccer club's in Deakin there. And they got the little cafe Double Shot Espresso. There's all these Snapchats on my thing last night. Just all these hundreds of Croats just going off a Double Shot on a bloody Sunday night, running right
Monday morning at 3 a.m.
Yeah, setting off fireworks. And I wonder if there was any cars got trampled on there.
Soccer fans, they just always take it to the next level.
I thought it was stupid. Like some of the Snapchats I saw 4 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, they're all over cars, they're carrying on in car parks. It's like, I don't know. Not massive on it, eh? But anyway, what's done is done, as they say. So that's it. The Tigers winning the AFL Grand Final. Congratulations to them. The Killers putting on a brilliant show afterwards. Yeah. They do things really well, the AFL, sometimes.
They seem to, don't they?
Seems to be like a little bit bigger and grander.
Strange one. Who knows? Strange one. Moving on to that NRL Grand Final where Macklemore did play his tracks that were so in question. I agree with you on that, Scotty. We had a good chat about the politics in sport last week.
Yeah.
In this case, you're inviting an act over and then you're telling him what he can and can't play as a song. That's crap.
Well, I don't think the NRL told him what he couldn't play. I think it was just a few politicians that went, you can't play, you can't bring politics into it.
That's what I mean. When I say you, I mean anyone. Yeah. No one should be able to tell the artist what he can and can't play.
So. 3 years ago, Cole Chisel, who did one of the best performances at an NRL grand final, arguably, they played K-San. K-San was a protest song about the Vietnam War. No one gave three shits about that.
Yeah. And they,
I know it was an issue that was 30 years ago, but again...
But it never hasn't been an issue, has it, though? Yeah. It's been played over and over so many times. So in that final, boys, it was a shame to see the Cowboys, as you said, but not come away with it, but they were never in the hunt. Never.
First 20, they were solid as.
First 10 minutes of the second half.
Still don't think they were in the hunt, personally. They stuck with Melbourne, but Melbourne felt like, we'll just stick with you now and we'll play your game for 20 minutes. And that's just my opinion. Obviously, everyone can disagree with that.
Just waves on the beach. They just keep coming.
I just felt like they were never in the hunt, especially when Melbourne went over first with that car, putting the
there's conjecture over that try because Murray Martin was taken out by Matt Chechen.
Matt Chechen, did we discuss this a few months ago? He used to take me from old Dicko College games.
Really?
Day, yeah.
Because Ben Cummins is a Canberra ref too, isn't he? I think.
Chechen used to hold me up.
But I think Matt Cummins is too. I think there's a couple of Canberra boys who are top line NRL refs at the moment.
Bloody Dixon College versus, who'd we play? Bloody Palm Beach Currumbin.
Yeah.
And it was like 10 a.m. on a bloody Sunday when they aired the game.
Yeah.
To go all the way to the NRL GF. Good for him, man.
Good. Yeah. That'd be a great thing to tick off for a referee, wouldn't it?
State of Origin Grand Final. They're the two big ones.
It was a good performance from Melbourne. Can't begrudge any of their stars or all that. You know, the holy trinity of Cronk, Slater and Smith, they were just far too good last night. So the consensus was that Cam Smith would get the Clive Churchill medal as well. Yeah, it's similar theme to what the AFL did by giving it to Dusty Martin. But in the end, they gave it to Billy Slater, and I thought that was a fair choice. They could have given it to Smith, Slater. Cronk was excellent in terms of marshalling the team around.
He was.
From our position, Addo Carr was sensational.
How old's Cronk? I thought he was a bit young to be retiring.
I'm pretty sure he's
30, 31 something.
Even a bit older than that, I think.
He's a lot younger than Slater and Smith.
He was there in 06 when they lost to the Broncos, so that's going back.
Slater and Smith were born on the same day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's amazing.
But not same age, though, I don't think. Smith.
Yeah, I think older. So. Really? No, I think they're born on... Oh, are they?
Smith might be a bit older, I think.
I can't believe that the Melbourne Storm haven't got behind like Purple Rain as one of their theme songs. Imagine after a win, everyone's singing Purple...
That ain't going to work. No good. There's a reason that didn't happen.
Proudly sponsored by the band Deep Purple. We could come up with them all day, couldn't we? But yeah, they were far too good, I thought. I mean, like you said, Benny, it would have been a great fairy tale story for the Cowboys to come out and win that. But personally, I just felt they were never in the game. Once Fenson went off and then they were down to three minutes players for the rest of the season.
Do you think that's a career ender?
Potentially. Yeah. If you've got knee issues, ACL
knee
issues.
And tibia fibia.
Yeah, that's going to be a hard road to recovery for Sean. And
How old is he?
28, I believe. And Canberra boy, he's done a lot of really good work.
Yeah, worked here for Raiders Plumbing, did his plumbing apprenticeship as he was still playing with the Raiders, and he was just so good in the middle, and as he was for the Cowboys the last 6 weeks. He tightens up the ruck so much.
Yep.
He's one of those guys like Billy Peden back in the day. What was that Manly hooker? Sidaris?
Jimmy Sidaris.
Jimmy Sidaris, same deal. Was an unsung hero. Just did so much work in the middle of the ruck and tightened everything up for people, you know?
That's it. Hard-working player. So it was a great performance from Melbourne. They win what is now their second premiership in the Cameron Smith era, their third overall. That counts. They should be five, realistically, but...
Yeah, but they were cheating bastards, they lost them. Yes,
exactly right. So no sympathy for them in that regard. But they were far too good. Big questions now about what happens to, you know, those three brilliant players. Yeah. Where does Cameron Smith go next year? Where does Cooper Cronk go next year in Sydney? There's talk that Manly going to try and line him up.
Oh, I thought he was retiring.
No, he's moving to Sydney.
He's moving to Sydney because that's where his missus is in the media. But he still hasn't said anything about playing and whether he's going to play. Like, because Newcastle offered him $1.3 million a season and said he only had to train with the team once a week.
Wow.
They went, "We only want you at the captain's run. And just to bring our young guys along, and you've only got to train once a week because we know you want to be in Sydney."
Yeah, and that was the whole purpose of you moving.
Of him moving there. So we went, "We know it's only 50 minutes up the road, so we're prepared to offer you this if you come to the club." And nothing's been said, so
but there's so much talk about what's going to happen, where he's going to go.
Roosters has been talked about.
Manly have been talked about, you know, him to replace Blake Green. So that's a big question. What does Cameron Smith do? That'd be almost the perfect time to retire. He's just beating the games record.
He'll do World Cup.
I do reckon he'll go around again.
I reckon he'll go around at least 2 years. I reckon he's going to get to the point, where he'll play like 410 games and no one will even get close to it.
You reckon that's what he'd like to do?
Yeah, I think that's what he's going to do.
What do you reckon is going to happen next year with the Storm? Because obviously they're losing their main component, like the generals, but they've also got so many young, experienced guys.
Look, I still think they'll be a good team, Ben. I still think they'll be a potential top 14. I'll definitely be in the top 8 again. Whether they'll be good enough to win it, I don't know. Munster's good enough to come through and take over that Haas position, as we saw this year in Origin. You know, they've got their quality wingers. They've got good second rows. McLean will be a loss for them. I thought he's a bit of an...
Well, he's going to the Cowboys.
That's right. Yeah. So he'll be a bit of a loss for them, Jordan McLean. I think he's been a really good player for Melbourne. So interesting to see how they recruit and what they do. But overall, they deserve their premiership. They were
the best team this year, as much as you begrudge it sometimes. And Smith and Slater, born on the same day, same year. So they're exactly the same age.
So how old's Billy then?
18th of June, 83. So they're 34.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Cameron Smith's only 34. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I had it in my head that he was a little bit older than that.
No. He's always, even as a young bloke, he looked like an accountant and who'd been around for a long time.
But he's a bloody hard
bastard. He's looked a bit 30 since he was 15.
He's one of those blokes.
Yeah. So, no, that was it. Melbourne, can't take anything away from them. Well done. They'll be enjoying their celebrations.
Yeah, of course.
Well into next week, you would think. Fantastic
performance. Purple rain. I can't believe that's not a thing. In the UK, that would be a thing.
I can believe it's not a thing because Aussie crowds don't sing like Pommy.
But in the UK,
crowds.
It would be a thing.
Yeah, well, they don't play there, Benny, so there's a reason.
Just saying, man.
Yeah. A couple of big points coming from overseas. Last night, the politics in sport issue reared its ugly head once again. Now, this was in the Spanish Primera Liga, Barcelona hosting Las Palmas in a regular season game. The 99,000 capacity Nou Camp had a total of 5 people in it last night. They blocked everyone from coming in because the Catalonian people had their unofficial, according to the Spanish government, referendum to remove themselves from Spain to become their own country, their own district in Catalonia. That's been going for a very long time. So Barcelona as a club, in protest to the police brutality on the people, police went to the polling stations, beat people up, tried to close everything down when it's a referendum, you know, for the people of Catalonia, you know, democracy, as they all said. Players, you know, shedding tears in Gerard Piqué, Spain international, who so proudly represented his country, Spain, you know, winning 2 Euro titles and a World Cup, you know, in tears at the end, saying this is democracy and people are, people are getting bashed, getting hit. Absolutely shocking scene. So Barcelona played in front of an empty stadium. 100,000 seat Nou Camp was empty for a regular season game. And the reason that Barcelona wanted to call the game off as well, because they said, "We're going to protest the government, but we're also going to, you know, because of what's happening to the people, we want to make a statement."
Yep.
La Liga, the federation, which is based out of Madrid, basically came out and said, "You do that, you're going to default the game against Las Palmas. They'll pick up your 3 points, and we'll give you a 3-point deduction as well for calling off a game within 2 hours or something like that." So it was a 6-point turnaround. So huge scene last night.
What's the point system for a win?
3 points in football and 1 for a draw and 0 for a loss. But if you default, you basically give the other team a 3-0 win. So that's what it would have been.
Do you reckon that's a better scoring system for the latter than the NRL? The 2-1s you're
right. I don't think so, because I think football's a type of game where you can often get a good draw, and getting as an away team going
you
to get
can get a good draw in soccer,
getting an away, away draw as a team in football is often a very good result. So it rewards teams as opposed to you go out there and beating them and take the 3 points. So huge scenes last night. I'm curious to see how this one plays out rest of the week, especially when you've got a lot of big Spanish players like Isco and Ramos that play for Real Madrid, but then you've got Busquets and you've got Pique. You've got the players on the other side of who have been so together in playing for Spain. Las Palmas wore a Spanish flag underneath their crest as an FU sign to Barcelona. So it was all happening last night in the Spanish league. So this whole politics.
Adios mio. Means oh my god in Spanish.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, well, my mate was rooting a chick in Spanish. He kept saying it.
Go on. Don't stop.
Was that mate in the room?
No. It's gonna happen.
Around the world in 80 days.
I was gonna say, I don't remember telling that story.
It's working for the government. Like that. You told us you're in Fiji.
Oh, goodness me. That is brilliant, Benny. That is some of your very best. Bernaca Valencia, right? As you go. So, yeah, that was very, very frustrating to see that overseas last night in the Spanish Liga. Let's see how that one plays out. Formula One, boys. The Malaysian Grand Prix's 19-year history at Sepang ended last night. The final race in the immediate future of the Malaysian Grand Prix. Not exactly sure.
What's happening there?
What's motivating. Now, I think it's crowds is an issue, where there's an issue. Where they're holding it as well, up there in the northwest of the country in Sepang, is probably a bit of an issue as well. So Max Verstappen,
it's an awesome track though.
It is, yeah. It's always been a great track, Sepang. So and the bikes have been there in the past before, I believe as well. So very, very, very sad news for all the Malaysian F1 fans. Max Verstappen taking the victory over Lewis Hamilton. Lewis still extending his lead though, atop the Drivers' Championship. Yep. So that was some pretty big news that came out of Formula One last night.
So then they're just going to skip the whole Malaysia round?
I think so for the time being. They'll probably replace it, or they might even scale back. I think they're up to 21 races now, which is
It's a long season.
Back in the day, remember Scotty going back 10, 15
like
years
ago? 14
or 12 or something like that. There used to be all your classics like Spa and Monza and
Monaco.
Hockenheim. Yep. Monaco, all those ones, but now it's all changed. So Formula One scaling it back a bit, I think, just to keep the interest as well. I mean, we've got so many races, they're just giving so much to the people now that there's a lot to keep up with. And just finally, boys, President's Cup golf last night, America absolutely smashed the Europeans. The world team, the Ryder Cup being the Europeans, absolutely belted them. And there was a lot of international players like Jason Day, Adam Scott, our Aussie guys that really didn't perform at all weekend. It was a really strange one. Viegas got the first win for a Venezuelan as well, which was fantastic. So there were some really nice moments, but overall, the Americans winning quite easily in the President's Cup. Ryder Cup will come around again in a few years' time. And that's it, boys. That wraps up a pretty chaotic week of world sport.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast
with Scotty Masters,
Ben the Governor Edwards,
and Steve Payos.
Got to say a big thank you to Ian, Sess, and the rest of the crew at the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, who without them we wouldn't have this little podcast on the air, Benny.
And they need more crew.
They do.
They're short. They're on a skeleton crew.
Yep.
They need a full body, meaty crew. Pun intended. I just came up with that.
Fully licensed butchers is what they need. Not apprentices. They're after people that already know the trade and know what they're doing, because they've got a standard to keep, Benny.
Yeah,
and that's what they want to keep. We had a bunch of people around yesterday for the NRL Grand Final here, and we did. I did a barbecued brisket and some barbecued chicken wings that I got from the butcher shop, and they were absolutely
sensational. Was that your dinner tonight you were having?
That was the leftovers. Yeah. So you could smell it when you walked in. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely sensational.
This house often smells of beautiful butcher shop food.
Well, mate, it's
the chicken curry last week, remember?
Yeah, it's the only place. That was a Thai basil chicken curry the missus made in the Thermomix. Like,
yeah, about to say. Your missus is the expert, mate. You're just the lucky bastard that gets to
eat. Hey, man, I'm a gun cook never, too. You don't go for weight loss surgery, Benny, unless you know how to cook. Trust me.
You do if you've got an awesome wife like you do.
The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Seriously, Canberra's best meat. It is all quality source product, and it's off a bone. It ain't out of a box like when you go to the supermarkets. Their sausages have actual meat in them. Do yourself a favour. Go and check it out. Dixon and Kayleen, where the quality is remembered long after the price is forgotten.
The podcast you are listening to is all true.
Proving once again that the truth is not pretty. Just like its hosts.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben and Steve.
Scotty, now time for your top five, mate. You've come up with some Rippers. I think we've definitely got a definite top three, Benny. But
we've got a definite top three, but the top three all have something in common that was sex related. This isn't sex related.
No. No, and that's why I'm a bit worried this
week.
And
I'm a tough crowd.
Benny, look at Benny.
Benny loves a smutty top five. This one's not smutty, but it is topical because, boys, a lot of stuff in the news cycle at the moment about the communist rogue state of North Korea and the fact that any day
Rocket
now
Man.
Kim Jong-un, Rocket Man, is going to level a US city or an ally or maybe blow up a sea turtle. You just wouldn't know.
Or his own launch pad.
Yeah. you just don't know. And I mean, let's be honest. Communism hasn't really worked out too well for most countries that have tried, has it?
You know? China's economy.
China's okay, but Cuba, let's be honest, they're stuck in 1950.
Yeah.
And it's just
beautiful cars.
Abject poverty. Well, they're all 50s cars. They're all rotting to pieces. You know, and yeah, North Korea, it just sounds like a dreamy paradise. And by dreamy, I mean living under a tyrannical rule with little to no power generation in the outlying areas and no contact with the outside world.
I'll tell you what would be good, though, is you kick ass in school, everyone gets straight A's because all... Who invented the world? Kim Jong, bloody, whoever the first was.
Yeah, the fact he climbed Everest in 18 minutes and the last time he played golf, he got 18 holes in one. And
you could have go wrong.
All that sort of stuff. But imagine if there were a place where communism did make everything better like its proponents claim. What would that be like? Well, I'm glad you asked.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top five.
It's the top five signs communism is working well for your country. All right, we'll see how we go here. Number five.
Here we go. Ready,
there's no waiting for iPhones, HDTV, or even cable installers. You don't have to wait because there aren't any.
That's a positive.
Wasn't that funny?
That was just a good fact.
I actually thought that might have been the other that was coming, though.
Number four. Home redecoration is a snap with paint available in four shades of grey. Sadness, misery, despair, and doom.
You're full of lead.
Yeah, the good old paint. Number three, the top five signs communism is working well for your country. When you're busy plotting how to steal and sell your grandmother's kidneys on the black market for food money, who's got time to burn brain cells on Geordie Shaw? I got a smug smile.
49%.
I'll take that.
Yeah, he's a tough crowd. Well, you don't mind.
There's no dick jokes, you know.
Yeah.
Number two, toilet paper might feel like sandpaper, but they give you as much of it as you can eat.
And it is sandpaper.
1200 grit. And number one, there's the drum roll. In the top five signs, communism is working well for your country. Food shortages mean bread lines are a great place to meet supermodel thin chicks.
Wafer thin.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane in the membrane. It's Biff time, man.
It's Biff time, brother.
All right, so... MMA news to start off. So we got UFC 216 on this weekend, but there's like a LA little press conference thing, and Fabricio Verdum, the heavyweight, was next to Tony Ferguson, the guy fighting for the interim lightweight title while Conor McGregor is on hiatus. And
he's on yacht leave.
They literally. Yeah.
Goodness, mate.
Tony Ferguson's about as big as Fabricio's leg, and they've all been cool with each other, and they sat down, you know, a little fist bump and that, and then. Fabricio seemed to like talk over Tony, and Tony took offense in there when this happened. So have a listen.
It's great, man. Yeah, absolutely. It's a belt, bro.
Yeah. What does it mean to you?
It's a belt. It's shiny. It's awesome. It's cool. It's a piece of hardware that I can get for my baby boy.
Porque eu não comi nada antes.
You know,
não
comi nada.
Eu vim treinando.
Hold on, I'm talking, brother.
Eu não, eu te fudei, vou tomar no teu cu, meu.
What I'm trying to say is...
O problema é teu, se tu falar, fala com o cara aí, vai tomar no teu cu, meu. Tá muito cheio da onda o cu do cachorro, vai tomar no teu cu, meu.
Quando eu estou hablando, necessito cair
até. Esse é o problema, cai até tu puta madre, manicão.
Não,
a mim não me digas assim, cabrão. Não me digas a falar assim, que não é assim que funciona, é? Tu vais falar assim com tu divisão comigo, não vais falar assim, manicão.
What I wanted to say is fake.
Não, vai te fuder, vai tomar no teu cu, vai te fuder. É isso aí, vai te fuder, não comigo, tu não vai falar assim, ô seu merda.
I don't understand what he's saying.
Não, não tem que tomar no teu cu, é isso aí, ô palhaço. Você é um
either.
Palhaço, rapaz. Então, um cu de cachorro, rapaz.
Understand.
Vai com a caia até. Caia até um caralho. Vai tomar teu
dog,
cu, palhaço.
You don't want none of this shit, dog.
É, isso aí é o cu de cachorro. Não tem esse negócio aí comigo. Comigo vai falar com a tua divisão, assim, ô palhação.
What the fuck you want?
Você não vai falar. Comigo não vai falar.
O
que é o pau no cu?
You and your punk ass
manager. Não, teu cu, pau no cu. Vai te fuder. Comigo não vai falar assim, ô palhaço.
Big guy, right?
É big guy, é big guy.
É um puto cachorro.
Later, buddy.
Later. Comigo não vai falar assim, ó, pô.
Hey, have fun fighting my undercard.
Comigo não, maricón. Maricón é merda. Comigo não vai falar assim, maricón. É isso aí, vai te fuder.
I don't understand you. What the fuck are you talking about? Shut up before I ankle pick you. Anyway.
So, obviously, Fabrizio is Brazilian, but he also lived in Spain for a significant part of his life. So, he's fluent in English, Spanish, and Portuguese.
Okay.
So, there was a whole bunch of gay slurs there that I actually know because...
of course you do.
There was a boxer called Ricardo Mayorga. He's Nicaraguan. He's crazy. He just smokes cigars at the press conference. And he used to call everyone a maricon. Maricon. It's the derogatory word for a gay person.
Okay.
And then I learned from the American... He's you know, Renato Laranja is an American guy who pretends to be a Brazilian 27-time jiu-jitsu champion.
Right.
He's not, but his name is Renato Laranja. He's done some funny stuff. And he always used to start off his interviews with, caralho, which is another Portuguese derogatory term for a Spanish person. But everyone that didn't speak Portuguese thought he was just saying hello.
Yeah,
but he'd start off with the interview like, you faggot, how are you? But no one actually knew what he was saying.
Okay.
Yeah, so they got separated. And afterwards, Fabrizio said that Tony's just a different person when the cameras are on and off. But Tony Ferguson said that Fabrizio doesn't like him because Fabrizio doesn't like Tony's manager, this guy called Ali Abdel Aziz.
Okay.
Who also, maybe somewhat ironically, manages Khabib Nurmagomedov, who's Tony Ferguson's main rival, even though they've never actually had a fight yet. So it's going to be interesting. You've got a mad promo like that with two guys that can't fight each other. You might have to do like a 2-on-1 matchup or something so the weights match up.
Did you see Mark Hunt came out after that? Surfaced over the weekend. Mark Hunt put up a post just slagging Vadum, going, "What are you doing giving it to Ferguson? Fight me, you soft cock." Just smashing him. Yeah, Hunt's all over him. Wants to fight Vadum.
Nice.
Again.
Yeah, wants to go him again, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that. But
yeah. Every chance he gets, Hunt's right into Vadum at the moment on social media. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, well, he's obviously just trying to get another stink in there. So
yep.
Good for Hunto. So moving on, we obviously Gokhan Saki made his debut, the kickboxing legend, a few weeks ago. He's actually going to move to Florida as he's been training in Sweden and living in Dubai, Turkish blood. He's a man of the world. He's going to continue that. He's going to move to Florida, where a lot of his former kickboxing buddies have moved as well, including Tyrone Spong, who he actually was Tyrone Spong's last fight. I believe that was Saki's last kickboxing fight too, where Spong actually broke his leg and moved to boxing. So it's going to be interesting to see if they end up training together at some stage. Also, Chris Jericho, the WWE wrestler, would be quite proud.
Yes.
The first Boston Crab submission. Should we do this one as well?
I so much laughed after filming you guys.
Don't you dare call it that. It's a Walls of Jericho.
After filming you guys last week. I got some hate
from some jiu-jitsu guys.
3.5 seconds after that was live on Facebook, Diddy is like, "Yeah, good one, Edwards."
Yeah. Well, all I got to say to Duke is keep your hands up, mate. And on to some boxing news. As I think you touched on last week with we're trying to get all the heavyweights to fight for United title eventually in 2 or 3 fights time between the lot of them. Louis Ortiz has been pulled from his fight with Deontay Wilder. He tested positive for something. It has to be steroids.
Yeah.
So the WBC title has been the title fight has been scrapped as of the moment, so not sure what's going on there. And moving back to me, Lucas Brown actually messaged me during the week. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but he's fighting in Russia.
Yeah.
The week before, has that been announced?
Not sure exactly. He's supposed to fight here in.
Well, it has now.
If you two know about it, that's good.
It has now. So he's fighting in Russia.
Okay.
The week before my fight, actually. So I'm going to head up and do some sparring with him, which should be very exciting. And
that's awesome, mate.
Go back to the UFC. Sorry, we got UFC 216 this weekend. Finally, Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson taking on Ray Borg after the fight was cancelled after Ray Borg was sick for the last one. He reckons his weight cut was okay, but just had the flu, no good. So he's going to try and break Anderson Silva's 9 title defense record, which should be awesome. And obviously, Fabrizio Vadum is fighting on the very shortly retired Derek Lewis, who was Mark Hunt's last fight.
Yep.
He retired in the cage.
And then quickly
unretired soon afterwards. So that's actually going to be a cracking fight on a cracking card.
Mm-hmm.
And we will have a lot more next week. There was no fights this weekend.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk to you, Ben.
We're to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, I mean, we're recording this on the 2nd of October. This is out on the was it 5th of October? So that's less than a month out from your next scheduled fight. Can you tell us anything about what's going on?
Well, I'm definitely fighting.
On November 4 in Canberra? Birthday.
Yes, that's definitely happening. We're all locked in. But the problem is the guy we're trying to chase, the Cook Islander fella, he's booked to fight Ben Tosoli.
Brandon's brother,
a month after the end of November.
Right.
So it might be a bit close to book fights. Right. It's a bit rude to book fights that close together, especially with big guys in little gloves. It's not hard to get hurt even if you get a win. So I will be fighting someone. It just won't be a bloody college wrestling expert out of America.
Do we need to put a call out?
Mate, there's no one. Everyone... Who is there? There's just so. Well, that's
what I mean. Like, what? Where to for you? Like, if that fight's not going to come off,
we'll find someone.
Do you look at?
We'll find someone. There'll be some fobble. Always wants a piece of Edwards, mate.
Yep.
I'll find someone.
So it'll be you and your ex-missus in a pole fight.
Hey, I owe her.
No, you don't, Benny. Come on now.
I've got no idea what's going on. Basically, but I'm showing up.
You'll be there.
I'm showing up.
You'll be sharp, mate. Four and a half weeks out. That's it.
I'm ready to go. Smashing the weights, big and getting strong.
Yep.
Everything's good. Yep. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Watch your space, son. That's very interesting stuff, mate.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Not a bad question. This one comes from Greg on the email. And don't forget, if you want to send us a question on the email, you can do that, uppercutpodcast@gmail.com, or you can get to us on the Facebook page as well, facebook.com/uppercutpodcast. So Greg on the email says, boys, it was horrible to see Sean Fensom go out the way he did in the grand final on Sunday. What's the worst sporting injury you three boys have copped over the years, or the worst sports injury that you have caused?
Well, Benny, I think you're going to take the cake out of all three of us.
Well, yeah, I copped a broken neck. There's not much worse than that, is there?
Nah.
Six months in hospital, 12 months in a neck brace.
I can't compare anything to that. I've broken, dislocated, and tore my rotator cuff in one punch.
One fight.
Yeah, my Japanese debut, fought a guy called Nobu Hayashi, who ended up beating cancer. The guy's a legend. He's tough as.
Yeah.
He was actually the kickboxing legend Andy Hug's last ever fight before he passed away from leukemia. Right. So I don't know what's going on in Japan, but there's a lot of nuclear facilities over there. I don't know what's happening.
And the bomb was dropped there.
And
Hiroshima
and Nagasaki, of course. But to his credit, I'm getting a bit off course here, but I ran into Nobu in 2012. He was training with the Dutch Chakariki team. Peter Ertz came out of there. Just a whole bunch of Dutch legends. And this is when they thought he was going to die. He came in. He was bald from chemo. He lost a lot of weight. Still just a big, big strong man, but you could tell he was sick. And he's training. I'm like, oh, how is Nobu doing? Like, just trying to ask how he is. Obviously, doesn't speak English. And his trainer says, I just wanted to bring him to Holland for the last time before he passes away. And nobody fully understood what he said and just like, my time's coming. I'm just full samurai, man, tough ass.
Yeah.
And got over it. He's an absolute legend. The worst injury I've probably given to someone, traumatic brain injury on Duško Bazarac, my Serbian. We're actually pretty cool, mate. It's like we talk on Facebook. We like each other's shit and wish each other happy birthday on Facebook. Yeah. And he's a good dude.
But that was that big knockout. You thought you killed him, didn't you?
Yeah, that's 10 years ago in December. Ben Edwards Serbia fight 2008, but it was actually 2007. But on YouTube, that's what it's under. Yeah. So if you want to look at that, was trauma that retired him. That was the end of his career after that.
That was a sweet knockout. From your point of view.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest. For sure.
Yeah.
So that's probably the worst.
Yeah.
What about you in soccer payoffs?
Yeah, nothing crazy for me. A couple of ACLs, and then an ACL playing cricket.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, that was no good.
Did it 6 months recovery?
Yeah, about the time was a bit longer.
How'd you do that? Trying to chase the
mate. I was charging down the wicket and got a spike call in the pitch, actually. I was playing first grade for
on a turf pitch, on concrete.
No, turf as in an actual turf wicket. So down the pitch, bang, ACL.
Is it like an explosion, like they say?
It's like a piano string.
That one was because of the nature of going. I was going down the wicket to try and put this bloke over free body nets for six, and I've ended up being stumped and done an ACL. I don't know which one was worse.
Six or seven.
But it was no good. But just the nature of going down and getting caught, and my whole body weight just went over it in the perfect angle. And just
snapped it.
So that was no good. Did another ACL playing soccer. That wasn't as bad, I don't think. It was just sort of a twisting injury, but the whole body didn't go over. It was more foot got caught, body went the other way, as opposed to like falling over it and cracking it. So,
what's the worst you've ever seen? in person?
Well, the week before I broke my neck, and I don't know if it's the karma train as to why I broke my neck, but the week before we were playing at Boorigal in Newcastle, and there was this big Aboriginal guy who was the front rower on the opposition side, and our back rower, Sonny Hall was his name, he's another Aboriginal fella, and he ended up playing for, I think, reserve grade for Canterbury in the NRL. Sonny said to me, when this guy takes it up next time, you and I are going to hit him. I'm like, yep, cool, no worries. He's gone, you take him around the knees and I'll go low. Yep, sweet. We did that. Unfortunately, I went one way and Sonny went the other and we compound fractured this poor bastard's leg. Like, we didn't mean to. We didn't set out to do it. We just wanted to tackle the guy and put him on his ass because he was making meters on us. And he said, we've got to knock this guy on his ass.
Yeah.
And we tackled him and, yeah, we just sort of got messed up as we hit him. One went one way, one went the other, and his fib came out the side of his leg. And, like, it was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. It was like, there were tears. Like, I was sitting there just going, holy shit, I can't believe it. And the week later, a week after, I broke my neck.
Yeah, I saw a similar thing at a kickboxing show. Ironically, that Serbian guy I was just talking about, yeah. The guy, I saw a kickboxing broken leg like we've all seen, but the guy that was on the good end of the broken leg was on the Australian fight team when we went to Serbia, Kim Loden.
Yep.
He's a legend. He'd fight every 2 weeks when he was living in Thailand. He's tough as. But yeah, the guys from Fat Pizza were actually the MCs for this show at the Hurstville Civic Centre, I think it was.
Yeah, right.
And this guy, yeah, just threw a kick, got checked, tibia fibia snapped right through.
And just did the whole flip up.
People in the front row, you could hear the snap, were just crying.
Yeah.
Kids were just like in full distress.
Yeah.
But the guys from Fat Pizza had to wait because they had the paramedics there, they had to wait for the ambulance to come through the traffic.
Yeah.
So they're trying to crack jokes with these kids in the ring, screaming in the background. And the guys are just like,
that's
shit,
a tough
what do we
gig
do?
As an MC.
And they were there for like a solid 20, 25 minutes before they got him out of there.
That'd be tough.
That was shocking. Like, everyone, they're trying to entertain the crowd, but how do you talk about a tough crowd?
I mean, Steve and I have emceed a heap of events, and get those events where they're horrible. In something like that, you just have to go. You're going to have to. You talk to the in-house people and put bloody music on, and just leave it.
But I think it was actually good to have someone just for the kids to look at.
Yeah,
just to take their eye off the guy in the ring, just in agony. Like you could tell, he was just in a world. And then later on, I was sitting next to the guys while the fights are on, and they were all saying to each other, Jesus. Well, have you ever been in a worse situation than that?
Surely the ring doctor in a combat fight would have a PEF pipe or something there for something like that.
Yeah, but I think,
because when you take a few hits of that, and it doesn't matter what you break and you don't feel
it. I think this kid was just in shock. He was only a young kid.
Yeah.
He was still just in total shock. Yeah, that was terrible. Yeah. And back to the Fat Pizza guys. They emceed a show here in Canberra once, and I was really fat, and I was sponsored by Fat Blaster.
Was that at the Rye Theatre?
Vikings,
was it? Right.
And they're in the ring and they're announcing us, and I'm fat as, take my Fat Blaster shirt off. And then who's the Rocky, the bigger
yeah.
dude?
Yeah.
He goes, we're going to need some Fat Blaster immediately. Fuck you, Rocky. And that's it.
All right, well, let's get stuck into our second song for tonight. The song that caused all sorts of conjecture heading into last night's NRL Grand Final, Monday when we recorded this, but Same Love by Macklemore, which is a bit of an anthem for marriage equality. And, you know, you had politicians, Corey Bernardi, Tony Abbott coming out having a whinge about it. At the end of the day, does it really matter if a guy sings a song about this at a grand final? I don't think it did.
Vote yes, suckers.
And on that note, here's Macklemore and Same Love. Thank you, Benny.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw. My uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face. She's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex had the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. I tried, even if I wanted to.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody, there is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned. When everyone else is more comfortable remaining voiceless rather than fighting for humans that have had their rights stolen. I might not be the same, but that's not important. No freedom till we're equal. Damn right I support it. Don't press pause. Progress march on. With the veil over our eyes, we turn our back on the cause. Till the day that my uncles can be united by law. When kids aren't walking around the hallway plagued by pain in their heart. A world so hateful some would rather die than be who they are. And a certificate on paper isn't gonna solve it all, but it's a damn good place to start. No law is gonna change us. We have to change us. Whatever God you believe in, we come from the same one. Strip away the fear, underneath it's all the same love. About time that we raised up.
I can't change.
Same Love by Macklemore. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm Ben, that's Scotty, that's
hello.
Steve.
G'day.
And now we're going to hit someone.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Stevie says he's brought an uppercut to the table this week, so it's always good to punch on.
Well, Steve and I don't have a table, actually, but go for it, Steve.
Brought an uppercut to our laps, Benny. You and I. It's all the lawmakers in America, the gun lawmakers in America.
Not sure if you boys driving here. There was not another shooting in Vegas.
Not sure if you boys have seen the news the last few hours.
No,
multiple dead, hundreds wounded, mass shooting at an open air country concert in Las Vegas,
MGM Grand,
at the Mandalay Bay. Only a matter of hours ago. So you could hear. I've seen some pretty disturbing Twitter videos of people who are at the concert. So they're just recording their favorite band
on stage. And
oh, mate, you can hear. I don't know what it is, an M16 or something.
Yeah, would be AR-16.
Yeah.
Like you can hear hundreds of shots being fired, and then all of a sudden people just realize it. I mean, it's getting to a point with these gun laws where it's going to, how many more incidents like this are going to happen? How do you get
that? Well, it won't change. The NRA is so powerful in America.
And the gun lobby.
And the way they are with their constitution. And I mean, there's that. Have you seen the Jim Jefferies, the Aussie comedian's take on gun laws in America? Have you not seen it?
No, you told me about it before, though.
Mate, because at one point during that, he's talking about it because he's lived in America for quite a few years and done a few comedy shows.
He lives in LA.
He says, I love America and I love how patriotic you are and you're so gung-ho about your constitution. He's gone, we've got a constitution in Australia? Probably. No one knows what the fuck it says, but we've got one. And it's right. Like, it's the way they're brought up in their schools, I think. And again, it's one thing from a sporting point of view, you admire Americans with how patriotic they are and how full on they are. But when it comes to this and to gun laws, mate, when you shoot up a primary school full of kids like Sandy Hook, and nothing happens, nothing's ever going to happen.
What is it going to take for something to happen?
Nothing's going to change because it's like, you can't take our guns. You can't take our guns.
Still, me mates went over there, got married, and they met up with this random group of dudes, and they're out shooting stuff in the Nevada desert. And they went for a drive in a. And they in a Freedom van, which doesn't get more American than that.
Suburban.
And they're all just there, just mowing the shit out of stuff. And they're in Vegas for a week, and there was like 8 murders during the week, and that's just par for the course there.
Eight murders.
Eight gun-related deaths.
Yeah. I mean, last time I was in the Gold Coast, I went to a gun range where you could go and you could hire anything from a 44 Magnum to a Glock to whatever and fire off range. And they're on the wires, and you can't turn the weapon on yourself and things like that. So... you know, you can go shooting here in Australia and do that kind of stuff in gun clubs, but it's just different level over there. Yeah. And, you know, you'd be walking down the street. I've been to America a few times and you see dudes with holsters and guns just open carry.
But the problem isn't in America. It's been so long that even if you go, okay, brought in the same gun laws that we have, it would take hundreds of years
to get rid of them.
To get rid of them. Like there's more
look
guns
at the
getting
scale
churned
of population.
Out. Mate, the black market would live forever.
Yeah. And it's the thing. I mean, the Second Amendment was created to stop tyrannical governments and so that a militia could overthrow a tyrannical government.
And that was when it was like bang, let me reload for two minutes.
Yeah, that was it. That was buckshot and bloody single shot lead ball shots. And it does. I've shot those guns and it takes 2.5 minutes to bloody reload. Yeah. And there were no rifling.
Yeah.
So you could shoot someone from 10 feet away and miss them.
Yeah. You know, mate, I've grown up with guns. As I said, my dad was working at the Canberra National Pistol Club at the bottom of Mount Ainslie there forever. So I've grown up shooting, and I couldn't be more in agreement with Payos and most Australians. Yeah.
My cousins go shooting all the time up at Walker at a mate's property. They've got guns galore, but they've got a gun safe and they've got an ammunition safe, and you know, and
everything's registered.
They do it all properly.
Yeah,
It's just bizarre, man. And I don't think you've seen Bowling for Columbine, the Michael Moore documentary.
I actually haven't seen it. Heard it's
see,
amazing.
Again, though. I mean, Michael Moore's an epic lefty,
and there's been 50.
It's been so many since that. I mean, that was made just after Columbine.
Which was 98.
And he took two of the kids from Columbine that were shot to Kmart because the guy, Dylan Klebold, and I can't remember the other guy. The two guys that did Columbine, Dylan Klebold was one of them. They bought the bullets for that massacre at Columbine at Kmart.
Was it a Toys R Us?
It was Kmart. But he took two of the kids at that school that were shot up who still had bullets in their spine, who were in wheelchairs, to Kmart headquarters in this doco and went, we want you to remove bullets. And Kmart did. They caved and took bullets off the shelves.
Wow.
So it's quite an interesting watch. And the gun crime, even in that, which was so long ago, I think it was 33 or 34,000 gun deaths a year in America. And I think Australia at the same time was 4.
Yeah.
Like, it's just bizarre.
I remember when I was a kid growing up, maybe that's where I got Toys R Us from. I was in Toys R Us in Singapore.
Mm.
I was 9, so that's 93.
Yeah.
And playing with a full pump action shotgun, dry firing it in Toys R Us.
Well, the opening of that doco, Michael Moore, he's from Michigan, Flint, Michigan. It's had all the issues with their water over the last couple of years. But back when he filmed this doco, there was a local bank. And if you went and opened a savings account, they gave you a rifle.
What?
And he went in and they gave him the rifle. He opened the account. They went, hang on, we'll just get your ammunition. And they handed him a full box of bloody ammo. And he went, can't you guys see the irony here? And they're like, what? I'm standing in the bank. You just gave me a gun and ammo for opening a savings account. I could now rob you. Yeah, but you won't. It's just, it's a, like you watch that doco, dude, you'll scratch your head even more than you do currently based on what you just said. But
wow.
I think, it's never going to, I was going to say, we're going to look back on this one day like the prehistoric ages, but it ain't changing anytime soon.
It's not going to change. I mean, you shoot up an entire school full of 6-year-olds and no one's moved enough to do anything.
Yeah.
It's never going to change.
Yeah.
So you want to give that an uppercut? Gun
laws?
Yeah,
ready?
Let's do it. Yep, and there it is.
Jeez,
and
there's just some depressing shit. We're getting real political, man.
Yeah, well, you know.
I like it.
It's the world we live in.
Yeah,
it is the world we live in. So anyway. Now, Stevie, that's it for this week. You're not here next week?
That's right, mate. Yeah, away in Brisbane for 4 days for work.
Going back to Spain.
Brisa Vegas.
So next week's episode will be called Talking Takedowns Episode 3, I do believe. We'll get Juki back in.
Hopefully he lets us get a word in. He can talk about his Bucks party he was at on the weekend.
Oh, he was at Paul Vaughan's Bucks, wasn't he?
Yeah, went up to the coast with some boys.
So there's been no stories have come out of that. Like, because, no NRL stars have been disgraced. So.
Because Paul Vaughan's missus follows Duke on Snapchat, so he had to be very careful with what he posts.
Excellent. All right. Well, we've got we've got three episodes left after this episode, and then we will have our Christmas special in December as well. So three episodes to go. Duke will join us for next week's show, and he'll be back for the Christmas special. And Stevie, you'll be back for the...
So Duke will be here next week. I'll be here the week after. Duke again the week after that.
Then all of us will get back together.
All of us, we can maybe have a
four-way. Yeah, we get Duke in for the Christmas special.
Yeah, we will.
I know Duke will like that.
I know Payos will like that.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying.
And on that note,
Scotty and I are going to stand in the corner with that clothes on.
I'll say get a big black dog up, yeah.
See you next Thursday.
What's my line again?
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride.
Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing.
And Steve can get all Barry White and seduce the world into thinking everything is going to be just fine. That will happen in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen. Till next time. So long.